Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, as you heard a moment ago, there are two conversations going on in this morning's gospel. First of all, between John and the crowds that came from Jerusalem, who came down to the Jordan River to be part of his mass baptism. And then there's that mysterious discussion between Jesus, newly baptized, and his heavenly Father. The first, with John, represents an invitation to all of us to figure out once again what John was all about, and to see what he may have to say to us so many centuries later. John called Israel, as I have said several times from this very place, John called Israel back to the Jordan River for a purpose. Back to the place where the nation had first paused 1,000 years earlier to renew their spiritual energies, their purpose, their sense of being God's people before taking over the promised land. He called them back to that moment because he recognized that during that 1,000 years they had done a lot of compromising. They had committed sins against their promises to God and each other. They'd made bad choices. And so he called them back to start all over and maybe to do it right this time. It's almost as if, and I've used this example from this very place before, but it's almost as if we Americans were to go back and stand next to George Washington as he crossed the Delaware River in that desperate moment during the Revolutionary War, to go back and stand next to him and share something of the sense of determination and purpose and conviction. Realizing that over the past 237 years, we haven't done this always the right way. That we could have done it differently and better. To realize what political independence really means, the opportunities and the obligations it affords, that it's a great gift to be exercised wisely. It's almost as if we go back into that famous painting of George Washington crossing the Delaware and say, we could do it better, because we could. So that's one conversation. It's the first conversation between the folks from Jerusalem who came asking, are you the one who will help us claim our true identity and purpose? Are you the one that will call us into this? And John said, no. I just remind you that it needs to be done. And someone else will lead us into that. I'm only saying, get ready. Make a choice. So that's one conversation. It really is not merely a conversation of somebody else, but it's one in which we're invited to be part of the discussion. It's almost as if the gospel this morning says, do you want to be part of a fresh start for the whole people? Say yes or no. The second conversation is more personal. It's not national in that sense of God's people. It's more personal. It's between Jesus and his heavenly Father after the baptism. A clue to that is that though Matthew may say or describe the heavenly voice as saying, this is my beloved Son, Luke says, you are my beloved Son. So it's a conversation between Jesus and his Father. You are my beloved Son. And Luke makes a difference in the way in which he describes this event, because The others talk about him coming out of the waters, almost still dripping from the baptism when the voice comes. Not Luke. Luke's make a point of saying that he was in prayer later. And in the midst of that prayer later came the voice, "You are my beloved son." Now, Luke always likes to accompany major events in the public ministry of Jesus with prayer. That's a characteristic of the Gospel of Luke. So that at the baptism, and in a pointed, particular way, Jesus is praying. But also the night before he chooses the 12, he spends the night in prayer, thinking about them and choosing them. And at the moment of his glorious transfiguration, Luke says he was praying. And suddenly the inner reality just radiated outwards. Of course, at Gethsemane, they all talk about him praying. But Luke makes a point of saying that even on the cross, we have it before us so vividly, even on the cross, Jesus says, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He prays on the cross. So all the way through Luke's gospel, Jesus is a person of prayer at significant moments in particular. So here he is at the baptism afterwards. Almost an example of the early church's practice of getting newly baptized together for further conversation, for reflection, for teaching. They called it mystagogia after those sacraments. They still had to be initiated. And part of the initiation was the preparation, and part of the initiation was the experience, and part of the initiation was the reflection afterwards. How did it feel to go down into the water? And what did it mean to be anointed? What did it signify? The mystagogia. It's almost as if Luke's gospel wants to incorporate that part of the baptism because it's always also about us. Now, it struck me as I thought about this and prepared for our prayer together this morning, it struck me that there are many situations in our own lives when special events are revisited later because we understand them better. I come to ordinations. I come and I sit right next to the archbishop's throne for deacons or priests. And there is a moment in the ordination when there is an examination. Do you promise to do this and this and this and this? And I sit there and I say, after 53 years, I understand what those really mean. I know what that's really about. And that promise of obedience, where they come up individually, do you promise to obey and respect me and my successors? I know what that's all about. Or at least I know it better than I did. But similarly in marriage, when parents come to the weddings of their children, and often, maybe not always, but often, there's a moment of maybe teary-eyedness, because after 25, 30, 35 years, you understand what a wedding is about. And the simple words, "I do," mean a lot. They mean a lot more than we thought they did when you first said them. So there is a way, and even young people, you know, 8th grade, 7th grade, you take a look at first graders coming to school for the first time and you think they're all excited and they don't understand really what this is all about, and maybe I could recapture a little bit of that excitement and maybe do it differently. And maybe I could help them do it right. So the waters of baptism, you know, thought about later. And suddenly with some kind of insight associated with the breaking of water at the time of natural birth and the new beginning and the fresh start. The gospel is certainly about what happened in history. But it's told in such a way as to explain the deeper meaning of that event, and told in such a way that it's also talking about us and our experiences so many centuries later. There's a teaching of the church that speaks about the three levels of history in the Gospels. There is what Jesus said and did, but there's also what the apostles said he said and did in light of the resurrection. And there's also what each evangelist said he said and did in the light of the particular artistic portrait, theological portrait they want to paint, if you will, about Jesus. So when we celebrate this feast of the baptism of Jesus, every year, we should realize that the voice is addressed to each and all of us, that the voice says, "You are my beloved daughter, and you are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And of course, the next question is, now what? And if we follow through the Gospels, immediately after the baptism of Jesus, he goes out into the desert for the temptations, in which the Spirit says, the devil says, "Well, if you are the Son of God, well, then turn this stone into bread. And if you are the Son of God, just throw yourself off the parapet of the temple, because God will save you." And Jesus said, no, that's not what the Son of God all means. So when we celebrate the baptism, we really have to say, okay, as we go home to whatever situation may exist out there, my computer crashed this week, so it's a mess. As we go home, we say, what does it mean to be the son and daughter of God? For me, at this moment in my life, with these circumstances that surround me, the gospel. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." Now what? The Gospel of the Lord.